At the same time, they visited the Jewish cemetery in Berdichev and spent time by the gravesite of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. They wrote upon and cried tearfully, pleading before the tzaddik that he should be a good advocate for them to be able to escape and reach a place of Torah. Over time, they also managed to smuggle into their hiding place in the forest, Siddurim and Tehillims. Despite the great danger of being caught, the boys later smuggled them inside the institution. One day, one of the instructors noticed Heschel engrossed in a Russian book. This was surprising. A Jew reading a Russian book outside of class? He abruptly approached Heschel and peeked behind the book and began shouting. The Russian book was a camouflage for the small Tehillim he had placed inside. Even then, at age 15, Heschel was so oblivious of his surroundings during davening or studying anything holy, he wasn't aware of the instructor coming behind him. The instructor ranted and, in extreme anger, dealt Heschel a strong blow and ripped the Tehillim into shreds. What hatred, Heschel related years later. I don't remember so much the physical pain, but every page of Tehillim that this non-Jew ripped tore my heart out. Now they intensified the supervision over the six boys. The instructors began to notice them pouring out the cooked food and punish them. Two of the boys, Rafal Wolshansky and Rafal Brook, had been encouraged by Rabbi Michal Teitelbaum to go learn in the yeshiva in Berdichev. After they were arrested, their parents came to him saying, "You sent them there, now take care of returning them home." Rabbi Michal received money from Rabbi Benjamin Gardetsky for the rescue operation and subsequently traveled to Zhytomyr, which was close to Berdichev. As Rabbi Michal was already sprouting a beard, he couldn't risk traveling with it exposed, so he wore a scarf around his cheeks as those who suffer from toothaches would do. In Berdichev, he went out to the marketplace and began to wander about, to think clearly and examine the possibilities of how to save the boys. At that time, many residents of the city, Jews and Lahavdil non-Jews, were being arrested, and it was very dangerous to wander the streets. Suddenly, Reb Michal noticed two yeshiva boys walking in the crowded market, and one of them was Rafal Wolshansky. He motioned them to follow him to the shul where he questioned them. They told him that they were taken to an orphanage at the edge of Berdichev where they wanted to knock out their religion. They were constantly indoctrinating them to be like everyone else and not to be different with their Jewishness. The boys continued and told him that throughout the entire time, they did not touch any treif of food. Reb Michal informed them that he had come to Berdichev in order to free them. They made up that from now on, they would communicate through notes left at the gravesite of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. Thoughts of escape never ceased to occupy Heschel and his friends. He himself would roam about the institution more alert, searching for ways, lurking about. One day, he heard part of a phone conversation between one of the principals and his commander. The principal was complaining that the six boys were a hard bunch and not complying with their orders. Continuing to adhere to their Jewish practices, it was decided to transfer them to a distant, stricter institution located in a completely deserted area behind Chernigov. There, the instructors would have an easier time handling them. Heschel repeated this to his friends. The boys did not know when the transfer would be, yet it was clear to them that every day was critical, and they had to make an effort to escape as quickly as possible. On their next outing, they left a note for Rabbi Michal Teitelbaum by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's gravesite regarding the telephone conversation. This served as a warning to accelerate the plans for escape. About a month after arriving at the orphanage, they were notified of the day of escape. It was decided they would escape on Shabbos afternoon when some supervisors leave for home for their day of rest, and the supervision of the boys will be more lax. At first, the boys refused to escape and travel on Shabbos, and they informed their rescues of this by way of a hint. By return mail the next day, they received an answer that Harav Mordechai Eliezer said to Rebbe Chol that this was a mitzvah and there was no greater pikuach nefesh than this. After this directive, the boys agreed to establish Shabbos as the day of escape, even though they all knew that the punishment for escaping from the institution was very severe and the chances of success were minimal. They even spoke among themselves that in the merit of the holiness of Shabbos, the escape will be executed with complete success. In preparation for their escape, the boys began leaving for their outings shortly before the previous group returned. They were scolded, but that didn't stop them from continuing. Thinking that maybe if they would be more lenient, the boys would start listening to them, the instructors let them get away with it, never dreaming that such young boys actually had in them the courage needed to escape. As time went on, the boys left for their outings earlier and earlier. On the designated Shabbos, the first group left the building at the designated time. As soon as they were out of sight, the next group left, and the last pair of boys followed right after. Shabbos morning came. Rebbe Chol woke up, davened, and took with him some money, with permission from Rebbe Mordechai Eliezer, who said it was a mitzvah of redeeming captives. He went to the train station and bought 6 tickets, 2 to Kiev, 2 to Zhlobin, and 2 to Moscow. How can one buy 6 tickets simultaneously? Certain that the teller and the constant probing eyes would notice, and this could shut down the operation immediately. Rebbe Chol was left with just one option. He gave money to one of the porters who worked in the train station in order to buy the tickets for him. The porter stood in line, bought 1 ticket, and left. After a few moments, he returned to the line and bought a 2nd ticket. The 3rd time, he went to another teller where he waited in line again and purchased a ticket. He left, returned, went back to the beginning, and back again to another teller. The time of the boys' exit from the institution was coordinated as close as possible to the time of the train's departure to the various locations. Rebbe Chol waited for them outside the fence of the orphanage, and from that moment, they began to race against the clock. They knew that every moment counted, even a fraction of a second. Otherwise, the whole operation might be exposed, chas v'shalom. Rebbe Chol headed to the train station through the detours he had prepared in advance, through gardens and fields. Although it was longer and more arduous, going on the main road was too dangerous. The boys followed behind him in pairs, one far from the other, so it wouldn't be noticeable. When they arrived at the station, they stopped. When Rebbe Chol bent over for a moment to signal, the boys knew that the time had come. Rebbe Chol distributed their tickets, and they each went to a pre-designated hiding place near the train station. They hid until a short moment before the train's departure in order not to be seen. Heschel went with his partner Chatzkel Brud. They both traveled to Hummel, where Heschel's aunt lived. They arrived there Sunday afternoon, and from there they continued on to Moscow. Heschel was sent straight to Tarbetz, where he had lived in the past. At the request of Rabbi Yena Cohen, who was the chief administrator of the Taim Chetz Mimim Yeshivas in Russia. There, he partnered in learning with Herschel Dribner. And how amazing are the ways of Hashem. Many years later, their rescuer, Rebbe Chol Teitelbaum, had a son who married the daughter of Rebbe Heschel Zeitlin.